And we're back, yes, somehow still on the air, for part two of the Scott and Val Save the Universe show. The only program brave enough to tackle cosmic chaos, armed with opinion.
All right, we are armed with opinions and coming back for part two of our show this morning. Sure, it's a little clunky. My beautiful sister Val, we got a beautiful new face on the camera, and we're going to roll out his intro.
It's time for RFN weather. Here with your national weather outlook is Alan Two Shoes Milani.
Alan Two Shoes Milani.
And we have summoned the weather kraken.
Good morning, Alan.
Welcome back to the show. All right. I don't hear you.
He probably did like me, muted his mic. And
I think his mic's muted. So our weather guy's silent.
I got it.
There.
All right. Now I want to know, do we have time for the Two Shoes story? Because that was my question. Where does that name come from?
Okay. It's a short story.
Okay.
And so... one shoe caused a disproportionate amount of problems, and HR needed a villain. So here I am. There was emails, there was meetings, and at least one phrase in the subject line that said footwear accountability. No policies were technically violated, but several were rewritten. So, yeah.
So
I was cleared of all wrongdoing, but the two shoes wasn't.
I have a feeling there was something to do with feet flirting.
I don't know. Could have been.
As long as there wasn't a shoe under the stall wall.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
All right. Well, folks might remember Alan from our Three Amigos television show that Chuck Ritchie and Alan and I used to do on the big KCHW. And then Alan has actually filled in for Val a couple times. I'm going to ask the same question with Ken. You and Val have never been on the air together, though, have you?
We have not.
All right. Yeah. So, Valerie Hunter, Alan Milani, say hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Val. Alan.
If you look to the left, maybe Val, you can wave at him, kind of.
My problem is things are backwards.
Yeah.
For
so you got
to.
Yeah. So. There you go. Look to your left. Hi, Alan. Oh, he's waving back at you. This is cool. This is like Hollywood Squares. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, our very first national weathercast, it is Alan Two Shoes Milani.
Yay. So good morning to the Pac Northwest and the rest of the Soggy Bottom Club. You know these rain maps that look like spilled coffee? Yeah, more of that. A series of wet fronts and atmospheric rivers. Those big moisture highways from the Pacific are punching into western Washington and Oregon, or Washington and Oregon, bringing rain, wind, and mountain snow, especially in the Cascades and the Olympics. Lowlands will mostly see wet stuff. Umbrellas will be your new best friend, unless you prefer the soggy Scott forgot one look. So mountains can
brings
see
out the natural curl in his hair.
Right? Mountains could see heavy snow totals, so the rest of us would mostly wonder why we parked on the low side. It'll be breezy, damp, and ideal weather for hot coffee. The forecast vibe is rain, wind, and why did I leave the house weather. The Northern Rockies and Northern Great Basin Thursday into Saturday. It's moving inland. That moisture isn't playing favorites. We're talking snowfalls above 4,500 feet. And if you're headed up for ski season prep, expect piles in the powder zones. The valleys, probably just a wet, muddy reminder that winter exists. It'll be a cold shuffle in the upper Northwest Mountains. Not quite Val's chili recipe cold, but enough so that Scott might finally feel tall when standing next to icy snowbanks. The forecast vibe for the Northeastern Rockies is snow for the peaks, rain below, and a chance of avalanche jokes. In the central U.S. is the system.
I keep falling for you.
As the system pushes eastward, parts of the plains and Midwest will feel that sting of cold air. Rain begins in the central states and may mix with some snow or a wintry mix as temperatures tumble through the weekend. Roads could get slippery, and that means funny news clips of people slipping on the ice. Your forecast vibe for the central U.S. is showers, chilly progression, lots of weather puns. For the eastern seaboard and the northeast, Saturday into Sunday, here's where the forecast gets dramatic but true-ish. The approaching system is expected to push into the East Coast late Saturday into Sunday, with showers, cooler temps dominating much of the region. Expect rain for big city commuters. That's a perfect excuse for grumpy faces on your selfies. Possible chilly wind and maybe even a light dusting of snow in some inland spots if that cold air punches through like your aunt at Thanksgiving. By Sunday night into Monday, conditions should attempt to clear up, but let's face it, the East Coast has a PhD in unpredictable weather theatrics. Forecast vibe is wet and chilly with occasional holiday-style mood swings. And just for your national forecast summary, in case you fell asleep for that weather report, is the West Coast is going to see rain, wind, and mountain snow. Central U.S. is rain turning chilly, mixed precipitation possible. And the East Coast is showers with brisk temps clearing late Sunday, all of which proves that Mother Nature has zero chill. Probably like you, Scott, trying to pick up a date at a coffee shop in December.
Zero.
Zero opportunity.
A snowball's chance in, you know what.
Zero game.
Zero game.
Zero game. All right, I learned all that from Alan. All right, great weather forecast. Did you have anything outside the solar system today?
As a matter of fact, I do. Let's see if I can find it here. So I've got a little bit of weather from Mars for the weekend.
Okay.
Expect fine dust storms with light red haze, temperatures holding a balmy negative 80 degrees Fahrenheit, give or take a crater, and winds kicking up just enough dust to ruin every selfie ever taken, even worse than Scott's dating photos. Oof. Tuesday is sunny, if you define sunny as a tiny yellow dot in a big pink sky. Wednesday, a slight chance of dust devils with gusts up to, oops, there goes your rover again. And for the weekend, perfect weather for existential contemplation or writing snarky weather forecast about Earth while sipping imaginary hot cocoa.
Yoda, it'd probably be safer if I said that. I just stepped in with a note about your weather forecast.
Hello, or do not. There is no try.
Yeah, good job, Alan Milani.
Good job.
So, Val, remember yesterday when I was telling you about the musical cookies I made?
Yes.
Do you think Alan deserves a musical cookie?
Uh-oh. Oh, I think Alan deserves a cookie.
This is Alan's musical cookie.
Oh, no.
Klingons.
I like the little laser blast at the end there.
There you go. That's our free musical cookie going to Alan Milani. Thank you so much. I know you worked hard on that and got up early for us on a Tuesday, and we appreciate you and Ken so much.
Amen, baby.
All right. There you go. Alan Milani. Thanks. Will you come back and do it again next week?
I will, sir.
All right. We love it. All right. Moving along with the show. Where are we at, Val?
Oh, I've lost track.
You've lost track. I had so much content for today. It's kind of slipped away from me. Let's see. Let's go ahead and do entertainment news. I'm going to start this off, Val. You can catch up with me. I wanted to talk about this because Zoe Saldana sits on top of the list of the highest growing actors as of today. Which usually when we find out about these actresses, I didn't mean to cut you off, Alan. I didn't know you were going to hang out, but you can hang out as long as you want. All right.
I can leave if you would like me to.
No, you can hang out as long as you want, buddy.
I've got two shoes.
Is that for running away?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. All right. To be honest with you, that was Scott's only expectation of me the first time he had me on the air. Is he said, just show up with two shoes.
Oh, so I'm responsible for the name.
Yes, you are.
That's
sir.
Right.
When you remote from home, though, I never wear shoes.
Mm-mm.
Or pants.
Yeah, you're fortunate enough if I wear pants.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to stand up.
I ordered a green screen. It's coming to your house, Alan.
Nice.
All right. So Zoe Saldana hit the list of highest growing actors. It doesn't say that this is the first time a woman's ever done it. Scarlett Johansson had the position previously. So her worldwide box office take, how they rate these actors, the movies they've been in, that they were stars, major stars in, how much did those movies gross? Zoe Saldana, top on the list at $16.8 billion.
Oh my goodness.
That's $1 billion. Wow. Wow.
See, now if I would have left right away, I would have missed that little nugget.
It seems just kind of crazy to me. All right, we're going to skip Golden Globes because I think everybody kind of heard of that through the weekend. But we do have some new movies coming our way, and Val's going to give us a lowdown on what they are and what they're about.
All right, starting January 16th, you can watch 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, a horror sequel starring Ralph Fiennes?
Fiennes.
Fiennes.
Yes.
How many of these 28 years later do they have already? They keep popping up on one of the streaming services, and I'm like, can you make this to death? Kind of like the Fast and Furious. Yes, yeah. Yes. All right. January 23rd, Mercy, a sci-fi thriller starring Chris Pratt and Rebecca Ferguson. Oh, I guess I have seen the trailers for that.
Looks
pretty good.
Sci-fi.
January 23rd as well is Return to Silent Hill, a psychological horror film based on the video game.
That's going to be the third one. Those are some of the creepiest movies.
Oh, you know, I'm seeing a pattern here. Horror, sci-fi, psychological horror. Okay. Next, January 30th, Send Help, a survival thriller starring Dylan O'Brien. February 6th coming up is Scream 7. Again, we're following a pattern. Nave Campbell returns to the horror franchise. February 6th, we have Solo Mio, a romantic comedy starring Sam Heughan. For a woman, that's a romantic comedy is not going to be the first thing I choose.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not in my repertoire. February 13th, with Wuthering Heights, Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi star in this gothic remake.
Yeah, that was a classic movie, a play as well, I believe. All right, coming to streaming, People We Meet on Vacation, a Netflix adaptation of an Emily Henry novel. Then The Rip, Netflix action thriller starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. They're back together in a movie.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's like a 90s flashback.
I was thinking for some reason, I was reading it as R.I.P.
Rest in peace?
Rest in peace.
Well, we discussed that Rip thing earlier.
Yes.
You remember?
I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
It wasn't me.
You farted.
No, it wasn't me. It was the chair, right?
Eh?
I just farkled.
We'll talk about that next. All right, January 23rd, The Smashing Machine. That's HBO Max drama starring Dwayne Johnson. Wonder Man on the 27th, Disney Plus series starring, I can't say the name. And January 28th, The Wrecking Crew, Prime Video action comedy starring Jason Momoa and Dave Bautista.
Oh, whoa. I'm in on that one.
Oh, give me a woo-ah, Alan.
Ooh-ah.
There you go. All right. And then the last one on the list, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You.
With what? Two shoes.
With two shoes.
Two shoes.
That's an HBO Max awards contender starring Rose Byrne. That's the word. If I had legs, I'd kick you. I'm sure that movie has something very, very serious in it as well.
I'm sure.
All right. So real quick, on our Facebook page, and our YouTube page, under the post, you'll see a link there and a picture of some art that Val did on a Farkle board. Farkle is a dice game, right, Val?
It is a dice game. Right. I think maybe it was formerly called 10,000, but that's just not as fun as Farkle.
Well, no. Alan, have you ever Farkled?
I don't know that I have.
No.
He's dead, Jim.
That's right. That's what they'll say if you don't enter this contest. So if you go to Facebook and follow us and go to YouTube and subscribe to our page, because on Facebook, we want to be able to stream from that page too. And we have to have 200 followers, and we'd like you to be one of them. So if you could take the time, it's RFN Network on Facebook, or you can search Scott and Val on YouTube. It's Scott and Val Save the Universe, or at Rogue Frequency Network, which the other one stands for, which is like a fake network we created to us to syndicate our show because no one would pick it up.
Don't know why.
So those are a couple places you can get that. Val, tell us about what it looks like. I don't think I have a picture ready.
Oh, okay. It features Bigfoot and the Northern Lights in the background, and he's giving you the peace sign, and it has on it the Farkle scoring, because I know that's a big deal for a lot of people who play Farkle. And Farkle, if you don't know what it is, it's a super easy to learn game that's based a little bit on luck and a little bit on strategy. And I was playing with my 8 and 9 year old grandkids, and they picked it up right away. They were even great way to teach your kids math. They were even doing the math. And so, it's just fun. You'll enjoy it. Brad and I like to sit on the deck in the summer and have a whiskey and play Farkle.
Well,
everything's funner when you're drinking.
Well,
these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Nope. Promise. All right. Let's move on to a few celebrity birthdays for today, history, and some special events. Let's see. Birthdays today. We'll just name a few of them. Patrick Dempsey. He's on the list twice because they say he's McDreamy.
McDreamy.
It's the same thing they say about Alan, though.
I don't think anybody's ever said that.
No. When you own the carpet store, girls used to come into the carpet store just to visit with him. Serious.
We're going from Two Shoes Milani to McDreamy? McDreamy and Milani?
Ooh, that kind of works, too. All right.
I didn't realize he's 60, though, really? I mean, yeah, wow.
He's looking good, isn't he? I wish I looked so
looking
good.
Looking good.
Yeah. A little wheezy, but...
McWheezy.
All right. Julia Louise Dreyfus is turning 65, and I'm sure she doesn't appreciate that. Trace Adkins, the country singer, 64. Orlando Bloom, best known for Lord of the Rings, 49. Why isn't he aging like me?
For some reason, I was thinking he was older than that. I don't know why. I mean, he doesn't look older than that, but... All right.
Shonda Rhimes, writer and producer, 56. Sean Wayans, Scary Movies, 55. Natalie Dyer from Stranger Things, 31. She played a kid.
Yes.
Natalie's the one with the really bad, like, 80s hair like I used to have, right?
Yeah. That's like anorexically skinny.
Yeah, but it's the hair that bothers me.
Oh. All right. So I am really, really, really disappointed, Scott.
Uh-oh.
That you skipped Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, wait, is he? Oh, sorry. He's in that new, he took over as The Witcher on Netflix, didn't he?
Yeah. He's, got to say that I prefer his brother, maybe. But, I mean, he's a close contender.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Because Chris, Thor, pitter patter goes my heart.
And Alan Two Shoes Milani, right?
Oh, yes. McDreamy Milani.
Yeah. I had no idea those two were even related. I don't know why I didn't put that together. Huh. Liam and Chris.
You didn't really?
Oh, not a clue. Probably why I can't get an accurate forecast.
Man. You are one pathetic loser.
All right, birthdays for the rest of the week that you might want to know. Dave Grohl tomorrow, Jason Bateman on Thursday, and special note here, Friday's National Nothing Day, the holiday of existential rest.
National
that's
Nothing
a big
Day.
Big nothing burger.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's perfect. Let's... let's do nothing.
Didn't you have a special request for Nothing Day, Val?
Yes. Don't even wear clothes.
What? No. If you celebrate Nothing Day, please send pictures of you doing nothing. Naked, even.
Just to Scott.
That's something.
Ain't nobody want to see that except Scott.
I'm already blushing. All right. Val, history mystery.
All right, let's go for historical events. Starting in 1794, the American flag was modified to include two additional stars and stripes after Vermont and Kentucky joined the Union. 1888, the National Geographic Society was established in Washington, D.C. 1930, the inaugural Mickey Mouse comic strip was released. 1942, we go to Henry Ford, who received a patent for a car with a plastic body made from soybeans. Wow. 1966, Robert C. Weaver was appointed as the first African-American cabinet member leading HUD. 1968, Johnny Cash performed a renowned concert for inmates at Folsom Prison, which contributed to a successful live album. I guess maybe I should have known that he was actually at the prison when he did that, but I didn't. So
he wasn't at the prison. He was in the prison.
He was in the prison.
He was part of the prison.
He was part of the prison.
He was a convict.
He was there. See, I didn't think he actually spent time at.
No, he was prison. In. Yeah.
Oh, so he was doing. He wasn't doing a sentence though.
I think he was doing. Okay, well, Alan, you're the producer now. Google it. We need to know if he was Johnny Cash actually in jail.
All right. I don't think he was, but
okay.
But I don't know. Well, we'll find out.
If not, I owe him a huge apology.
I think he was arrested for something, but never spent time in prison. But don't quote me.
Okay.
All right. 1990. Well, Two Shoes looks into this. 1990. L. Douglas Wilder became the first African American elected governor of a U.S. state in Virginia. 2000. Bill Gates transitioned from CEO of Microsoft with Steve Ballmer taking over. What he's done since then. 2021. Donald Trump became the only U.S. president to be impeached twice by the House of Representatives.
History isn't just dates. It's a humanity's collective. Oops, we did it again.
And Johnny Cash was not serving time when he did that concert.
Surprise, surprise!
I'm so sorry, Johnny. I always thought you went to jail. And
see,
somehow
that's
it made the song more special to me.
He's had his run-ins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
see, that's why I'm the intelligent part of the duo.
True story.
And he just goes, it's one thing that ex-wives taught me, never go back.
Ever.
On that note, I think I'll step out, folks.
Thank you so much. Okay. Once again.
Being a producer took a lot out of me today.
I guess. That really ended his stint on the show quickly.
I have to work?
You guys.
You bet. Thanks for popping
Thanks
in.
For being here, Alan.
Right. We'll see you next week. Alan, Two-Shoes Milani. All right. That was fun. That's fun having the guests and all that good stuff. Yeah. So much funner than things we've done before. All right. Our upgrade continues. We never made it through the fun holidays. Let's roll those out, Val.
All right, today, January 9th, 13th, I guess, Lohri is the Punjabi Winter Bonfire Festival celebrating harvest and community.
Okay.
We also have St. Nuts Day, a Scandinavian holiday where Christmas trees are ceremonially plundered. And
okay.
It's also Make Your Dreams Come True Day. We talked about that just a minute ago because January needs more aspiration.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Up ahead.
Go ahead.
A National Dress Up Your Pet Day tomorrow, because animals deserve capes.
Or bow ties.
Yes.
Something like that.
15th, Val.
National Strawberry Ice Cream Day. Seasonally ambitious.
Yeah, that's a little much. January 16th, we got two. First one, International Hot and Spicy Food Day. Sweat for joy.
Our National Nothing Day, which we talked about, which is joy by inaction.
All right. Celebrate anything with fire, cold, or dessert. It's efficiency. Wow. All right. A couple things. I think we have time. Let's go ahead. Well, let's do this. Let's do a couple of our news headlines. I have one I really want to do, and I'll get into that in a second, that I want to talk about. We have a few national news story headlines. If we don't have time, I'll save it. But I'd also like to do a tribute to George Gershwin and the song I have.
Okay.
From one of his big hits. So we'll try to work that in too, all before odd news. But first, we move on to news headlines. And I really thought I had an intro for this, but I don't think I do. Let's try this.
Blimey, you look chuffed to bits.
Well, thank you. Here we go. It's time for news headlines. First up, Minnesota and Illinois filed separate lawsuits to halt immigration enforcement operations in their states, calling them a federal invasion and occupation. Minnesota's attorney general said they had upended life for millions. Federal officials say they are necessary for safety. Val, I'm going to come back to that next story. Would you tell us about Democrat Senator Mark Kelly? I think this is a big story.
Yeah, and I love Mark Kelly. He is truly one of those people who served his country and cares about his country. So he sued the Pentagon on Monday over attempts to punish him for his warnings about the illegal orders, claiming the Trump administration trampled on his constitutional rights to free speech. Kelly, a former U.S. Navy pilot who represents Arizona, is seeking to block his censure from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth last week. Hegseth announced on January 5th that he censored Kelly over his participation in a video that called on troops to resist unlawful orders. Hegseth said the censor, by itself simply a formal letter with little practical consequences, was a necessary process step to proceedings that could result in a demotion from Kelly's retired rank of captain and subsequent reduction in retirement pay. Kelly asked a federal court in Washington, D.C. to rule that the censure letter, the proceedings, and his rank and any other punishments against him are unlawful and unconstitutional. The First Amendment forbids the government and its officials from punishing disfavored expression or retaliating against protected speech, his lawsuit says. That prohibition applies with particular force to legislators speaking on matters of public policy. The Pentagon didn't immediately respond to a message seeking comment. The case was assigned to U.S. District Judge Leon, who was nominated to the bench by Republican President George W. Bush.
All right.
So, yeah, I have so much to say, but we're really going to demote someone who served his country, and we're going to reduce his pay just because the president didn't like what he said.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You got it right. Sure, it doesn't seem real, but I got another one. It makes me scratch my head. And some people might be up on the history of Venezuela, and maybe not. But I wanted to share this because today will mark the third time in the past 40 years of broadcasting that I've had to talk about this. And I probably have some different feelings and thoughts than most people. I'm going to start off in 1920 when Venezuela discovered oil in their country and started asking for help because they really didn't know what to do. You know, maybe I don't want to insult them, but not third world country, but definitely a nation that has struggled throughout history. So of course, as corporations do, we're all familiar with the greed of corporations today. They came in and started taking out Venezuela's oil. They were really getting pennies on the barrel, even though it was their own oil. They were seeing literally none of the money for their country. So in 1976, they kicked out all the oil companies. Foreign ownership dominated Venezuelan oil. They were making pennies on the barrel while oil companies made billions. So that was 1976. They fully nationalized their oil and they created their own oil company, PDVSA. 1990s, Chavez, whether it was to rebuild their infrastructure, who knows? But they started letting in foreign oil companies again. In 1990s, as they did this, they put in a cap, 60-40. So 60% of the money generated from that oil had to go to Venezuela. 40% could go to the oil companies trying to protect themselves. Then Chavez, we've all heard of him, not a very nice man, mid-2000s. He forced the majority ownership, and they bought off some oil companies, but not at the value of their assets. A couple companies that wouldn't come to an agreement with them were Exxon and Conoco, who lost billions and their factories. They got nothing. You just had to leave. So here's an important note. So that's kind of the history of it. And then here we are today when we have invaded a country that has done nothing against us under the guise of drugs, which we have tons of proof. And it comes out of Mexico, delivered by white Americans, brought into the country by white Americans. And we have this guise that we're going there for drugs. And then all these boats come in that we're not going to need for little drug boats. And I knew, I said it to a friend. He's listening to this show right now. And I said, they're going for the oil because they want payback. And that is the truth of it. The first two companies Trump invited into Venezuela, Exxon and Conoco. And all these crying stories about, oh, the infrastructure's so bad, we're going to have to spend millions. It's a smokescreen. I'm sure the infrastructure's bad, but it's a big smokescreen. Feel sorry for the billionaires that are in a foreign country stealing their oil. Oil they never had any rights to.
And it's my understanding that the major oil companies are kind of going, thank you, but no thank you, because it's going to cost us too much to go in and do everything necessary to start extracting oil. And it's interesting to me that for the first day, they said it was about drugs. And by the second day, they were openly admitting it was about the oil.
It's crazy. It's not the 2026 I wanted to wake up to.
Yes, for sure.
I didn't want to wake up to 2025. All right, let's see if there's a...
The 2020s have kind of sucked. We started out with COVID.
It's been downhill.
It's been... Yeah.
The whole way.
Oh.
All right. Oh, gosh. There's a couple fun ones on here, Val. This one's not fun at all. But I do want to catch the last one and a couple of the climate stories. This one is big news this morning. People might not have caught it. It's horrible. Timothy Busfield, the actor, he is at large, wanted by several different sheriff's department. His location remains unknown. He is on the run. U.S. Marshals step in to assist police. This is 3 days after an arrest warrant was issued for sexual misconduct with children. And his wife, many people might remember her from A Little House on the Prairie, Melissa Gilbert, has went invisible, of course, on social media, deleting and closing all accounts up there. What a horrible revelation for her to have to go through, too.
So. Oh, yes.
Val, will you tell us about the Waymo taxi? Now, if you're not familiar with Waymo taxis, these are driverless.
Okay. Waymo passenger fled from a self-driving car after it stopped on Phoenix light rail tracks with a train approaching nearby. The moment was captured on video by a bystander. The footage shows the passenger fleeing from the vehicle as it sits on the tracks before continuing forward toward another train or near another train. The incident occurred on the morning of January 7th near Central and Southern Avenues in South Phoenix, where the light rail extension is still relatively new. Per KPNX, Phoenix police say Phoenix police say they received a call about the incident. It confirmed the Waymo vehicle left the area before officers arrived, according to the outlet. Kind of ran from the police just like it was the driver in there.
In the other store.
Authorities reported no disruption to light rail service.
Hmm. Oh, wow. All right. All right, we're going to cut news short right there. We had a lot more, but we are running out of time. We want to get in odd news because we would have put a lot of production into that. And we also have something else for you. Now, I wanted to do, as part of our retool, I wanted to do sports. We had a sports announcer that I met here in Maine. Unfortunately, he was not able to join us for the first few weeks. So I thought, hey, this AI is turning into a big deal. And I've done you've heard our announcer coming in and out of the breaks. He's got a great voice. It is AI, if you didn't notice. And I had him do the following sportscast. I think his voice comes out really good. Now, the talking head video, it's horrible because I can only afford a free talking head because we don't get paid. So I used a free talking head. It's okay, but it's not as good as it could be. But this is our first attempt at morning show sports. And this particular podcast section is, as I said, AI, and it's the best events of 2025, and it's all real. If you think we used fake information, information is real. The voice is AI.
It's time for RFN Sports. We lost our sports guy. He's not dead. It's just that we just lost him. So here's our AI announcer, Nigel. I pause for effect. Wobbleton Teacup the fourth. And now RFN's post-game therapy.
Nigel, I pause for effect.
Wobbleton Teacup the
sports fans, armchair experts, and people screaming, how did you miss that at their televisions? I'm Nigel Wobbleton Teacup the fourth, and this is Rogue Frequency Network Sports. We're reviewing the year 2025, a year in which America's finest athletes proved that preparation is optional, fundamentals are negotiable, and embarrassment is forever. We start in the National Football League with the Buffalo Bills. During week 17, Buffalo ran a perfectly normal offensive play. It worked. No flags. No chaos. Then the broadcast revealed the play's official name, Charlie Sheen. Yes, the Buffalo Bills, a professional football organization, willingly installed a play named after a Hollywood cautionary tale. The announcers paused. The audience paused. And somewhere, a coach quietly questioned his life choices. The play succeeded, but the name failed catastrophically, and Buffalo became the only team in the league to score points while simultaneously losing dignity. Now to college football! At the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas, organizers planned a respectful pregame parachute demonstration. Bad idea! One parachutist drifted directly into the goalpost netting, becoming tangled like holiday lights in a storage bin. This unfolded in front of thousands before a single snap. The bowl committee said everything was under control. The parachutist was unharmed, but the pre-game ceremony outperformed the actual game, and that is never the goal. Next, Texas A&M versus South Carolina. The Aggies hosted the game. They controlled the stadium, but they did not control the sideline. A confrontation erupted between South Carolina players and on-field law enforcement, which was captured beautifully by broadcast cameras. Pointing! Shouting! National embarrassment! A true first for America! Texas A&M officials scrambled. South Carolina officials defended their players. And viewers wondered how a football game turned into a workplace incident. The takeaway? When your sideline becomes the headline, you have already lost. Slipping into ice hockey, specifically the United States and Canada at the Four Nations face-off, the puck drops. Then a mere 9 seconds later, six fights explode on the ice. Not one, not two, six! Officials had no chance and broadcasters gave up describing it, and after the game the puck was wondering why it showed up at all. The United States and Canada did not play hockey. They hosted a group therapy session with fists. Fans loved it. And the coaches pretended this was competitive spirit. Now to Major League Baseball, Fenway Park, home of the Boston Red Sox. A fly ball heads into the stands. A fan catches it with a hot dog, and not accidentally, confidently. The Red Sox bullpen watched helplessly as a processed meat product demonstrated better hands than several players earlier that season. Boston fans celebrated, purists collapsed, and the hot dog achieved legend status again. Somewhere, a scout whispered, "Put him in left field." Still in baseball, the Mets surrendered 20 runs in a single stretch of play. Pitchers rotate. Nothing changed. The scoreboard operator actually stopped blinking. By the end, analysts stopped breaking down mechanics and started asking emotional questions. The opposing team apologized publicly, which is how you know it was really bad. Last but not least, Super Bowl 2025, the most watched broadcast in American history, featuring elite athletes, elite coaching, and decisions that instantly divided the nation. Clock management was questioned, play calling was dissected, and entire coaching philosophies were challenged before halftime. Millions watched greatness, and then immediately disagreed with it. Because nothing unites America quite like knowing exactly what the coach should have done from a couch. So, I say goodbye to 2025 and salute the Buffalo Bills for naming plays recklessly, the Armed Forces Bowl for inventing aerial suspense, Texas and South Carolina for sideline chaos, the United States and Canada for redefining face-off, and Major League Baseball for letting an Oscar Mayer wiener outperform professionals. I am Nigel Wobbleton Teacup the Fourth. Remember, finish the play, control the sideline, and please, oh please, catch the ball with your hands.
Nigel, I pause for effect.
Wobbleton Teacup the Fourth!
There you go. I think that's America's first fully AI sportscast, done by Scott. It took me about 10 hours. So much for AI.
There you go.
Never do that again. But what did you think of at least the vocal part of it?
The vocal part was good, yeah.
Yeah. What a great voice that computer came up with, too. So there you go. All right. There you go. Sports. Thank you. We're going to wrap up that show. It's our favorite thing to do, and it is to bring you today's odd news. And, of course, we're all about the video today. One more. Here you
go. Ladies and gentlemen, brace yourselves. It's time for Odd News with Scott and Val. The only segment brave enough to ask, who let this happen? And then read it out loud anyway. Proof that evolution is taking a coffee break in America. And one or two other places, too. These are real stories involving real people who woke up that morning and chose chaos. If you're thinking, surely no one would actually do that, allow us to assure you, yes, yes they would, repeatedly. So settle in, lower your expectations, and remember, this isn't fiction. It's humanity, unsupervised, on Odd News with Scott and Val.
Yeah, baby. Ooh, that's impressive. Can we live up to that, Val?
Oh, I doubt it.
You doubt it? Oh. All right.
We'll try.
Rolling into Odd News. We got some quick hits for you. These are little short ones, just some Odd News headlines, and Val's going to kick it off.
All right. I'm making sure we're in the right spot. In a survey, 59% of women and 54% of men would like to change at least one feature on their partner's face. We could change the vows from till death to us part till your nose no longer bothers me.
So I have to ask, what's the one thing on Brad's face you might change?
Absolutely nothing.
Good answer. Wow. Wow. All right. 59-year-old furniture. 59-year-old stole furniture and then called the same business to ask about a reward for its return. Deputies rewarded him with handcuffs. Yay!
Yeah. A man was arrested for trespassing at Travis Kelce's property while trying to serve Taylor Swift. Yes, like made up legal papers, because he apparently thought that was a thing you could do, even if you're not a lawyer.
I got these fake legal papers. All right. How about a skateboard getaway? Really? Stolen pickup truck. Suspect ditched the vehicle, then tried to flee police on a skateboard. Problem was, he was wearing one of those high visibility vests. Oopsie.
Oops. In Texas, thieves attempted to steal a live shark from an aquarium using a baby stroller, only to be caught after staff noticed the baby was trying to eat people that peeked in. Does your baby bite?
It's not my baby. In Virginia, teenagers rang doorbells in masks and pretended to threaten residents, alarming neighbors and law enforcement before it was revealed as a prank gone way too far.
It's probably some YouTube channel or challenge or something.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Stolen car. This stolen car ran out of gas. In the U.S., a stolen car suspect made it less than a mile before the vehicle ran out of gas. Officers found him pushing the car and politely took him into custody. Remember, if your vehicle runs on hope, you're already late.
Our friend Jean once showed me a video from the gas station where she worked, where a kid was hiding, kind of like standing on the corner, and he was just watching for somebody to leave the keys in the car at a gas station. Okay, so same kind of thing. And somebody does, and you can see him immediately as they walk through the door. He crosses in front of the front door, jumps in the car, and takes off. He didn't even make it to Spoko before he ran out of gas.
Well, you know, that's just like one reason to make sure that you run on fumes.
Yes. I stole a car without a gas and never made it to the next gas station. All right. Let's see. Brazil police reported a man walked into a jail not to escape, but to visit friends he made when previously incarcerated. He told officers he missed them. Officers described the incident as unique and him as cooperative, which feels generous. He was not required to be there. He was not visiting. He simply wanted to hang out. He needs a new club quick. And I do. I have a sound effect for him.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Okay.
Doggone it.
Doggone it.
The only friends I have are in prison.
Oh. Hey, Australia girl, you get the Australia story.
Oh, fun. In Australia, police use fitness tracker data to catch a robbery suspect after a smartwatch recorded the exact route, time, and duration of his escape. The suspect's own wearable device logged the run, mapped the path, and improved elevated heart rate during the crime, which means his smartwatch is now officially the best detective on the force. Undone by a Fitbit and Big Brother.
Oh, yeah, there's no getting away with anything anymore with those cameras. Mm-hmm.
No, there's not.
On to Eastern Europe, police arrested a suspect after he allegedly washed stolen money in a clothes washer to remove the dye. Money was destroyed, soaked, and unreadable, but technically very clean. Police noted the suspect was confused when the plan failed. Reminding us that money laundering shouldn't be literal. Wash cycles are for socks, not felonies. And on to Florida.
Authorities in Flagler County, Florida are trying to solve the mystery behind some suspicious incidents. Click Orlando reported. I was like, click Orlando. That in seven separate circumstances, a masked man was captured on surveillance video leaving a piece of wood and a $1 bill on front porches of homes. One family who received two different deliveries said the second one had writings on the log that said, "The Midnight Stalker is coming for Palm Coast." Flagler County Sheriff Rick Talley said the incidents unnerving and said the person could face charges of trespassing, loitering, prowling, littering, and being way too creepy.
Way too creepy. So all those people in Flagler County that have been harassed and scared by this, I mean, it's pretty creepy. It's like the creepy clowns on the corners, right?
Right.
So,
and it's probably somebody who thinks it's funny and a joke.
Yeah. Kind of like me. So I felt bad for these people, and I thought, this thing I'm doing, writing all these songs, and immediately a couple lyrics came to my head, so I wrote them this quick song to make them feel better.
It's log, it's log, it's bigger than bed, it's wood. It's log, it's log, it's better than bad, it's good.
You think that make him feel better?
You never know.
I think that was creeptacular.
I think so.
Police in the U.S. arrested a man accused of robbing a convenience store after he left his wallet at the scene. We hear this happening all the time. I hated to do another story about it. It was complete with ID, credit cards, and apparently zero shame. Security footage showed him calmly demanding cash, then calmly walking out, and calmly forgetting the one thing that would prove who he is, his license. Officers said it was one of the easiest arrests of the year, which is cop speak for, sir. We didn't even have to try. So crime doesn't pay, but it does require pockets, and this is why criminals should be forced to take basic life skill classes before committing felonies. And let's do this one more time.
I didn't do it! It wasn't me! It wasn't me! I didn't do it!
It wasn't me.
You farted.
No, it wasn't me. It was the chair, eh?
Yeah. Oops.
Eh?
Eh? It's you.
Moving on to wacky but true, as if the rest of it wasn't. In France, a man was arrested after using a hammer to attack an old statue. The man claimed he was doing performance art with the hammer and that the artist who created the statue would have been pleased.
If he wasn't dead already. Wow. I made it better. All right. Armed robbers in Germany held up a man carrying what they thought was a money transfer satchel. You know, like those bags you could take to the bank. They were probably kicking themselves when they got back to their hideout and they found out they stole a first aid kit. But they'll probably end up needing some of those Band-Aids.
Or they're done.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I think I have to do this one, too.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's kind of a story. 5 years ago today, I'm doing one, and this was one was for Back in Time. You're really going to like this, Val.
Okay.
Okay. I got to get to the right screen so I can pull this off for this story because it's a big deal, mostly. 5 years ago today, wacky but true, a strip club handed out branded tents to the homeless. San Diego strip club gave out nearly 150 tents to the homeless. Tents were branded with the logo for Deja Vu Showgirls. Hey, they got one in Spokane. Company spokesman.
They used to.
They're gone. Good. All right. Company spokesman says 150 tents were part of the company's outreach program. In addition, they also passed out close to 3,000 bottles of water to the homeless in San Diego. I actually have a clip, and Val, I want you to check out how these tents are shaped.
As you can see, the situation here is complex. These brightly colored, shall we say, non-traditional tents now dominate the landscape.
Definitely non-traditional.
Definitely non-traditional tents. And if you want to see it, you're just going to have to go back and watch the show if you're listening on the radio.
And there you go.
And here's Val with a $21,000 mouthful.
In a freak accident that sounds like an urban legend, a Massachusetts woman recently faced a mountain of medical debt after a literal run-in with a bat. Erica Kahn was in Arizona trying to photograph the night sky when a bat, likely disoriented by her camera's flasher movement, flew directly into her face. In the shock of the moment, Kahn screamed and the bat, or at least part of it, flew directly into her open mouth. Because she was between jobs and lacked health insurance, the subsequent precautionary rabies treatment and emergency room visits racked up a bill of nearly $21,000. The bat-to-mouth incident has since become a viral warning for outdoor enthusiasts about the unexpected cost of wildlife encounters, especially when rabies is a factor. Oh, talk about the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
This is the best thing I ever put in my mouth.
Oh.
When I made this sound effect, I laughed for like 3 minutes.
Oh, look, you have something on your face.
Yeah, I giggled.
That's right. Horrible.
We're going to wrap it up here. Our last stories. We've been running out of time all morning. We needed to do a 3-hour show.
That's it.
All right. I'm going to have a hard time going back and seeing what we missed. All right. My last story, a bizarre case of intergalactic fraud was reported in Japan involving an 80-year-old woman and a man she believed was a stranded astronaut at the space station.
Oh, wow.
You heard me right.
Wow.
Yes. A scammer contacted her via social media, claiming he was currently stationed at the International Space Station and was desperately in love with her. He told her he wanted to return to Earth to marry her, but there was one small problem. His spaceship had run out of oxygen, and he needed money to pay for a re-entry fee and new oxygen tanks. Probably get, I'm guessing you buy those from Musk? Maybe?
Oh.
Despite the logistical impossibility of VMOing money to space for air, the woman, fueled by romantic promise, sent him roughly 1 million yen. That's about $6,300. Before her family discovered this, celestial correspondence and contacted the police.
Wow. Oh.
So she was actually lost $6,300 to this guy. And after due diligence, you know how I like to investigate, right, Val?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
I've figured out this guy, and he is a ship captain's of sorts.
Han Solo. I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon? It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Yeah, sure, buddy. And isn't he exactly the kind of guy that would do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel, still, the woman probably had dementia and stuff. I mean, because I don't know how you fall for that tale without some early on, or well, late onset Alzheimer's or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible when you rip off an 80-year-old woman.
Wouldn't that be funny, though, if they did start charging the astronauts to get home? Yeah.
In this administration, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. We all astronauts must open a Facebook page and put that donation button on their post.
Well, the GoFundMe accounts that are being set up right now to pay for the ICE officer's legal fees and support him are insane.
Wow.
And the money that they're raising for that, insane.
No.
Yes.
I've watched that build. You shouldn't try to flee authorities, but in the video, you can hear her take different directions from different people, and that one jerk got out of a truck in front of hers and purposely walked in front of that vehicle and drew that gun as she had started to move. He did not have to stay there. He could have moved. There was no need for him to step out and draw that weapon. Do not give money to that man.
Well, he's a murderer. We were having a conversation today about the fact that if you enter the military, you have to go to boot camp. If you want to be a police officer, you have to go to the police academy. There is absolutely no training being done before they have.
Oh, there's only one requirement. You have to want $50,000.
Exactly.
Which most everyone does. All right, that is
all
our
right.
show
Sorry
for
to
today.
End on a serious note yes. here.
We had to, though. This is just our thing. And that is our show for yeah. today, live and perfect and confusingly fun, but it was a blast. And all the
yeah,
new,
remember,
all the new content.
Remember, life is messy. Life is messy. Humans are hilarious. And every day is worth understanding, even when it doesn't make sense.
And that's true. All right, we'll see you next Tuesday, 7:20, when we will try and save the universe again. So,
all right, same space-time continuum. Be kind out there and watch out for the Venusians and any other of the else. Forget it.
So I wrote it. So it was supposed to be watch out for the Venusians, which I didn't know how to spell. So I'm really surprised you got that. And anyone from Alpha Centauri Prime.
Oh, those are the worst.
They are the worst kind of people. And we'll leave you with our closing cartoon. Have a great day. Thanks to everyone on KCHW and listening on the platforms. Take it care.
Set back, everything will be okay. Two new heroes to face the day. Now throw all your fears away. And they're both in tight surrender. Yeah, totally Scott.
Pretty much all Scots.
He's a cheeky little plonker, isn't he? Don't forget, catch Scott and Val here every Tuesday morning at 7:20. I'm knackered after all that faffing about.